Good morning. This is Pastor Darren Walter welcoming you to the Back to Bethel radio broadcast. This morning's broadcast will feature a sermon by Evangelist Dana Williams that he brought during the revival this last week. We had a tremendous meeting. We're also going to play a song which was performed by our school, Bethel Cornerstone Christian Academy. We hope you enjoy the song. We want to invite you to next Sunday night's service, which begins at 6 o'clock on October the 28th, 2012, which is a special law enforcement appreciation service. Thank you, and we hope you enjoy the broadcast.
Take our Bibles, if you will, and turn to John's Gospel in chapter number 5. The Bible said in verse 1, after this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man When the water is troubled, to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is this that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and saith unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus, sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. I want to delve into this text tonight, looking at this thought of how determined the grace of God is. And aren't you glad for that powerful grace of God that can come into your life and can turn things around for His honor and for His glory? There's simply three things that I want to briefly mention to you concerning that grace that you've experienced, that grace that I've experienced, and how it is determined, what it is determined to do in our lives. The first thing that I want to look at is found in verse number 7 and verse number 8. I want you to notice with me how that, first of all, when grace comes into your life, it is determined to settle the past. This man seems to be emotionally attached to the events that have evolved in his life. He has a tinge of bitterness, I think. And as Jesus comes to him and says to him, Wilt thou be made whole? He detours. And he begins to describe to Jesus the reason why he's still in the condition that he's in. It's almost as if he's saying, Do I want to be made whole? I would be whole. But I'm going to tell you something, there's some people to blame for my condition. I want to tell you, first of all, Lord, there's no man that has even offered to help me. I wouldn't even be here. I've been here 38 years. I wouldn't even be here if someone had been concerned enough back through those years to at least help me to the water. But no, I've had it all on my own, and I'll tell you something else that upsets me. Even when I've tried, and I don't have strength, but even when I've tried, these people that are around here, oh, they look saintly because they're sick, but I'm going to tell you something. They've stepped over top of me. It seems as though that he wants to bring up the past. He has feelings about the past. Well, I'm glad when grace comes into your life, it comes to sever you from the emotions and the feelings and the blame and the condemnation and the bitterness of the past. Now here's what this man has said, and in saying it, he is seeming to emphasize what could have been, what should have been, and what would have been if things had have been different. He is bringing up the past. As I cross this country, I'm amazed at how many people call themselves children of God, say they've been resurrected, given the newness of life to walk therein, but it seems as though they can't get over what happened yesterday. They're constantly talking about some abuse. They're talking about some circumstance. They're talking about some person or some parent, or maybe they were the black sheep of the family, and they're always wallowing in the past. seem to bring up as if they have some reason for why they're yet like they are. But I want you to notice how Jesus deals with this. Verse 7, he has expressed himself about how he feels about it. But notice in verse number 8 how Jesus responds to this man's utterances about his past. Jesus looks at this man. Now, what Jesus could have done, as sometimes being sentimental, we do it to the harm of somebody. Jesus could have come and sat down beside him and said, "Oh, listen, brother, I know what you're talking about. You think people's done you bad. You ought to see how my family's treated me. I mean, I've gotten the raw deal from the beginning. Let's just sit around and water about it and talk about it. You tell me how bad they are, I'll tell you how bad mine are. And we'll just sort of chat about it." Isn't that true? That's how it happens so much. We'll just sit around and talk about everybody and how everybody's treated us, and we get nowhere. Well, I'm going to tell you something. You can wallow in the past if you want to and expect the sympathy of some people, and they may give it to you, but that's why heaven seems so cold, because heaven's not going to go back into your past. Heaven's not going to wallow in your past. Jesus says nothing to this man about what he has said, because it's not going to help him. But good would it be for Jesus to empower this man to walk if he's just going to walk in the past. Could you imagine this man being told to rise up and walk with that same bitterness and that same anxiety? I can even say, "Yeah, I'm walking, but I'll tell you right now, bless God, I got some scores to settle. There's some people I'm upset at. I got some houses to visit. You know, I stayed up for 38 years. I couldn't have visited you. Where was you at all them 38 years? What good is a walk that is walked in venom and in bitterness and in anger and trying to even the score?" Jesus does not deal with that. He, in essence, is saying, we don't need to go there. Just get up and walk out of that. Walk beyond your past. Settling those past feelings. Now, I'm not suggesting to you that this man does not have a legitimate grievance. I guess he has been sort of done wrong. But honey, why do you want to walk around in all of that when you got the newness of life to live in and to walk in? Thank God. So I tell to you that grace, when grace comes with the Lord Jesus Christ, it is determined to separate you from the feelings of the past. Thank God you don't have to live that way anymore. You don't have to feel that way anymore. But the second thing I want to point out to you is found in verse number 14. We move to the position of the future. Grace is not only interested in settling the past, it's over. Thank God. But grace is also interested in establishing us as far as our future is concerned. Notice this has a future tense to it, verse 14. "And afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more." Now he's moving on out into the future, lest a worse thing come unto thee. I'm glad that God's grace not only takes care of my past, but thank God it secures me so that I can rest in the peace of knowing that everything's going to be all right as far as my future is concerned. I am already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. thank God, right now, tomorrow is already taken care of. Why should we sit and fear and tremble and worry about the election, about the economy, about a one world government and an antichrist? Honey, I want you to know that Jesus has already taken care of everything to do with me. He did it in eternity past. Notice how he wants this man to know that. He doesn't want this man walking in uncertainty. But he wants him to know that not only is the past over, but thank God he has a bright future. He comes to him, first of all, and he emphasizes a completeness. Now, Colossians said that we are complete, but we are complete in Christ. Oh, I love that word, complete. It has the idea of a circle that you can't find the beginning nor the ending, and it can never be severed, but it is totally, forever complete. It has the idea of not being able to add anything to it, nor to take anything from it. He's saying to him, you're not only made whole in that you can walk, but you're made whole as far as the inner man is concerned. You're made whole as far as you're already suited for heaven. You've been made adapted to a new environment. You've been made complete. Now, when I look in the mirror, I don't feel that way. When I get on the scales, I don't feel that way. When I sometimes analyze my attitude, I don't feel that way. When I look at my life, sometimes I don't feel that way. But honey, it has nothing to do with my feelings. It has everything to do with faith and knowing what he promised. And thank God he was the one that made me whole. And he doesn't look at me and view me in this old carnal state, but he views me, I am accepted in the beloved, thank God. He sees me as his son, and I am complete in him. It's settled. The old account's settled. I've been made whole. I understand the psychologists don't want you to believe that because they can't make no money out of it. They want you to think that there's something missing. And it's missing because of something happening in your past. And they want to delve into that past. You know, find out what your problem is. Get down there with them ugly shovels and turn it over. Did your mama make you go to bed early? That's the problem. Yeah. And your daddy, did he make you get out there and mow the yard and threaten to whip you? No wonder you're like you are. You got all kind of reason to go out of here bitter. Oh, you ought to just feel bad because the way you've been treated. And somebody laughed at you at school. Oh, that'll destroy you for life. But no, I'm here to tell you, in Christ, whatever the scars of the past were, they're taken care of in him. He has understand you are complete in him. There is a wholeness, and you can inject into that, it has the same meaning, a healthiness in Christ. He's healthy, boy. You're healthy inside and out. You're healthy. I love to look into the eyes of a healthy saint who knows that they've been made whole in Christ. Now there is that completeness that we have. But he wants this man to know, listen, this is not one of those where you come back every 30 days and we'll try something else. This is not one of those things to where you are a recovering cripple. You know, you are a recovering cripple. Now, whatever you do, don't take too many steps in one day. You liable to be back in the same shape. Don't just jump up out of there and start walking. You get dizzy. You don't want to get dizzy. You're liable to fall, but you just could take 2 steps today, 3 steps tomorrow, 4 steps the next day, then come back and see me. If that don't work, we'll do something else. No! He said, rise and walk. And when he met him, he said, buddy, you ain't never going to have to worry about this again. You are whole! I feel sorry for those people who's always recovering. Always recovering. No, don't misunderstand me. I've done told you. I appreciate everything this world does to try to help us, but they can't give you the wholeness that Christ can. Huh? I ain't a recovering nothing. I've been made whole in Christ. Huh? Made whole in Christ. But here's the thing about it. Not only does he want him to know his completeness, he goes on to say, he says to him, now I don't want you to go sinning anymore, lest the worst thing come unto you. But what he is indicating here, and the question could be asked, well, what happened to the sins he's committed? Well, you know what Jesus does with sin, don't you? He forgives it. You see, this man, whatever his ailment was, it was caused by sin. Evidently, Jesus says right here, what good is it for a man to walk if he is afraid that something's going to catch up with him? He's been separated from the past. But I want to tell you something. That old past will run out after you if it can. It'll chase you like a hound dog. You said, boy, I'll tell you, I'm scared. I don't know. I'm walking, but man, thunder's liable to strike me anytime. I mean, I think about what I've done. Jesus said, I want you to walk, buddy, but I want you to walk in a forgiveness. I want you to know you've been forgiven. Some of you sitting here, you lived raunchy lives. Because all of you deserved hell. Including me, but I ain't worried about going. He said, why? Because as a 14-year-old, he said, you're forgiven. And don't you love that word forgiven? I was studying that word out again here a while back, and it has the idea of sending something away. And this is what Jesus has done for this man. It has the idea, you know, that your sins are removed as far as east is the west. They're cast in the depths of the sea. It has the idea of sending something away. I came to an appreciation of that term here a good while back. I was coming through this place and going to preach a meeting somewhere. I knew a pastor in the area, and I thought, well, I'll just stop by. I've got time to say hello. I'm talking about forgiveness now. It was a murky day, a little bit damp. And when I pulled in, the preacher just happened to see me. He stepped out on the porch, and I got out of the car, and he said, Brother Dana, so good to see you. I noticed that at that point in time, there was a third party. It was called a dog. Now, this wasn't no ferocious dog. It was a lab. Big black lab dog, lovable. It loved me more than it loved him, I could tell. It ran straight to me with my suit on, and that dog jumped up on me and put his paws right there. Now, he was oblivious to it because he didn't say anything about the dog. He said, well, good to see you, brother. And what brings you this way? And the dog's right here slobbering on me. And I said, well, I just thought I'd stop by for a moment. I want to say hello. Oh, he said, I appreciate you doing it. And then the dog went down. He said, well, you got time to come in the house? I said, no, I don't. And then the dog jumped back up and went down and jumped back up and went down, and you know the story. And I'm thinking, does this guy not see this dog? And finally, he gets up kind of close to me, and the dog jumps up on me for the last time. And I can tell his face got distorted. And I'm thinking, hallelujah, I think he sees the same thing I feel. And he looked at that dog and he said the most blessed words that I could have ever heard at that point in time. He said, get out of here. And he ran the dog off and went on around the house. I said, oh, glory. And then it reminded me, boy, I'm going to tell you, your past will just bite and hound and bark and growl. Jesus not only interested in separating you from your past, but he's interested in separating your past from you. And what he said to your sin, he said to my sin. emphasize in my last thought. Grace is determined to take care of the past. It is determined to take care of the future. But I'm going to tell you where I have most of my problem. It's in the nasty now. I need grace for every hour. I need sufficient grace for every day, don't you? And only God knows what you're facing right now or what you may face. But it is God's grace that alone can help you and deliver you from the daily trials and temptations and hardships that this man's going to face. He's going to have to live life. He's walking, but he's walking in this world. He needs some grace that'll walk with him. Well, I'm glad when I got saved, I didn't get a little certificate. It said, "You're saved, and we'll meet you when you get there. Be careful." No, he said, "I ain't going to never leave you, nor am I going to forsake you. My grace is going to be abundant all the way. And every step we take, oh, to sense the favor of God, the favor of God. I'm overwhelmed day by day with his favor. Though I live in this world, I have to say, constantly, Lord, you're so good to me. You're so gracious to me." When you got saved, you had no idea what all was coming in with grace. I said, "Lord, praise God, I'm saved by grace." But then I began to realize that grace had brought in much more than I could imagine. I tell you, there's one friend that grace brings every time. And you'll find it multitudes of times in the Word of God with grace. And it's called truth. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad for truth?
Yes, sir.
But you wouldn't even know truth if grace hadn't brought truth to you.
That's true.
Huh?